Each year, our Club New Lifers gather four times during the year for a Zoom. It's kind of like that old game show, Hollywood Squares, for our New Life family. It's great to connect with you visually. You know, we can see each other's faces, as well as to hear from you in our questions and answers time, as well as hearing from one of our special guests or a radio host. And we want to keep you up to date on the latest at New Life. Our next one is Monday, February the 3rd. We'll send out information, but just want you to put that on your date right now. Several of our past Zoom talks are on your Club New Life website for you to check out. Chris Williams shared on abundance versus scarcity in our last Zoom meeting in November in 2024. We wanted everyone to be able to hear his insight, so take a listen.
I want to talk today about internal economic systems. We each internally have are operating off of an economic system. And our economics really aren't about money, although they can be. It definitely can be a part of that. But money's just a part of that. Our possessions are a part of that. But really, it's an ecosystem and a belief around an ecosystem. And so when we, you know, confronting my internal economic system, and I'm finding two competing systems at work. One system is that of scarcity, and the other system is that of abundance. One place is a really dark place to live, and one place is a really good place to live. But if we're going to be true to our lived experience, true to the life that's sitting in front of us or that's sitting behind us or both, is that both our world reflects both of these economic systems really well. But internally, we tend to adopt one over the other. And they definitely compete against each other. But if we start at the beginning, and for those who have heard me talk before, I'm always geeking out about Genesis 1 and 2. Because I just think that is the platform to understand God first and foremost, because God instills an economic system into the world, and it's called abundance. Another word that the Bible uses is goodness. Goodness, goodness, goodness. It is good. It is good. It is good. Now, in all of this goodness, you know, then you have these characters, Adam and Eve. And, you know, in fact, there's one thing on planet Earth that wasn't good in the original design, and it wasn't good for man to be alone. So he created Eve. And so then, obviously, you kind of even have this sort of Trinity thing, God, Adam, Eve, and you have the garden, and you have everything that you could possibly imagine or dream of. In fact, I love how the Bible kind of alludes to the fact that they felt no shame. There was no embarrassment. There was no lack. But this economic system was a direct threat to the economic system of scarcity. And so there's this other entity known as the evil one, the accuser, Satan, devil, whatever you want to call it. But I like to use the enemy, because abundance was really, really coming up against. So what the enemy did to really dismantle the economic system of abundance is he introduced scarcity. And how he did this was he convinces this amazing, 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 amazing creature called Eve that the first thing that he did is he said, look around, guess what? You know, you're not enough. Landed there. Might take a little bit to think about this, but Eve, you're not enough. You don't have enough wisdom. You don't have enough insight. You don't have enough of what God has. And so we start to see, ooh, scarcity creeps in. It is the number one shame message on planet Earth. You are not enough. Not good enough. Not smart enough, not pretty enough, not successful enough. But it starts with the self. So the system of economic scarcity comes in and says, you are not enough, you know. The funny thing is, Adam didn't need much convincing. He didn't even need a conversation. He just needed a pretty girl. So, and then it all came crashing down. And unfortunately, that throughout human history, that hasn't changed very much. So the other thing, though, that he says is that this place is not enough. You know? So all of the things that are available to you are not enough. You need this one thing that's not available to you. So you're not enough. This place is not enough. And then the final one is that God is not enough. God is withholding from you. And so, as Eve and Adam participate in scarcity, they lose the abundance and they adopt the economic system, internal system of scarcity. I'm not enough. This place isn't enough. And God's not enough. It informs the relationship to the self, the relationship to the world around them, and including other people. You know, Adam looked at Eve and said, "Whoa, Eve has something I don't have. I'm not enough." Just rolls and rolls and rolls and rolls, and it gets in the atmosphere. So when we start confronting this in our own lives, we have to then understand what are the products, what are the results of this scarcity? Parts of it are ways in which we participate. Well, one of the things that the economic system of scarcity does is it contaminates the soil of our soul with the toxin of shame. And it sounds like that. It starts with you're not good enough, that there's some sort of core defect with you that is irreparable. And I'm unlovable, I'm unworthy, it has a lot of, I don't have what it takes, I'm not important, I don't matter. All of those things that become these core identities that wrap themselves in our soul and creates toxins. It also creates an atmosphere, or yeah, it creates the atmospheric toxin of fear in our minds. This introduction of threat. And that just rattles around and rattles around, and that's kind of fills the air. One of the sneaky ways that it operates or it produces is it traps us into the heart-shrinking power of entitlement. This one's really sneaky for me, but it's strong, you know? Is that I deserve this and I need this and and just this entitlement. But what entitlement does to our hearts is it then creates takers instead of givers. Entitlement also creates expectations, which is a setup, unreasonable expectations, or just simply expectations of the places in the world and the people around us that will not be met, and therefore we will be continually disappointed and live in frustration. But the other thing that scarcity produces is it weakens us by separating us from life-giving resources of connection and love. And so we can see, even as Jesus describes, that the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, he operates off of a particular economic system. It's the system of scarcity. And so what we're looking for is a different economic system to operate from. It's the kingdom of God's economic system. And it's the system of abundance. And Jesus comes in to say that I have come to restore life, or to give life and more life, life upon life. The first chapter of, I love the first chapter of John. It's where I always start in Advent season, is that the light has entered into the darkness, that the grace has entered into the condemnation, truth has entered into the lies. But one of the things I like that John really does well is he says that he came with grace upon grace. And that repeated pattern is to tell us that there is an infinite nature to grace, that the grace operates in pure abundance. The same thing about love. Love, going back to 1 Corinthians 13, love never fails. Love is of these three, faith, hope, and love is the greatest. Why? Because I get to heaven. I don't need faith. I don't need hope, but I will always need love. Love is an eternal attribute that does not end. And both things about that, grace and love, is that one of the things that makes them abundance is that they have a regenerative aspect to them, nature to them. Meaning this, the more, if I'm in a scarcity of love, I can actually produce more love, genuine love. If I'm in a scarcity of condemnation and rejection and guilt and shame, I can produce more grace. And so there really is this abundant nature to that. And so with that, it restores us to this economic system of abundance, restores us to our original design in God's original will. Because what it says is that this, the abundant economic system, produces this, that you are loved and cared for. Now we can go, like, for instance, to Ephesians chapter 3, 14 through 21, where this really, really audacious and profound prayer by Paul says, that you may be established and rooted in love. That you may be assured in that. It's talking about an internal confidence, an internal strength. And that you, so that you'll know together with all the saints how high, wide, deep, long is the love of Christ. I mean, abundance, 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 abundance. He also says that, it also says this place has everything you need. As we see in the verse, please forgive me if I'm misquoting the chapter and verse on this. I think it's in 1 Peter, but that he has given us everything for life and godliness. We have everything we need. This place is enough. The other thing is that, most importantly, or as importantly, most importantly, but most profoundly, and most bigly, if I can make up a most abundantly, is that God loves and cares for you. And even going back to Ephesians chapter 3, that when Paul has this prayer and he says that he may do more than you can ask or imagine, what Paul refers to is an internal reality, not an external one. And that we would be assured and strengthened, that we would be confident and participating in the security and the hope, and even in the audacity of God's economic system of abundance. Because here's the products of abundance. The product of abundance is that it nourishes the soul with the soil of peace and strength. So where we had contaminants in the soil, abundance puts nutrients into the soil. The other thing about the economic system of abundance that it produces is it creates an atmosphere condition of the mind that creates both clarity and creativity. This is one of the joys I get to see all the time, is that when I'm working someone through their painful experience, especially through their childhood trauma, and their mind is consumed with chaos and fear and insecurity, it's the scarcity, that's, evil sin comes with a lot of scarcity. Our unresolved pain. If I can do a quick side note here, that's why Jesus came with healing and forgiveness over and over and over again. Is healing and forgiveness are two of the primary ways in which we move out of scarcity and into abundance. But once people got healed, their minds became clear, as it says to the as Mark says about the man possessed, demon-possessed man, is that he became in his right mind. Things became clear. And the other thing that it produces is a lot more creativity, a lot more solution based thoughts and opportunities in our head. And the other thing it does is it unleashes the heart into the expanding power of generosity. And this is the one that actually, I believe, is being confronted in me, because I've spent, quite honestly, as a confession, whether it be a part of Club New Life or whether it be participating in the biblical principle of tithe, as sort of this obligatory thing, you know, and the generosity is purely tied to giving out of my bank account. But I'm being confronted on this on a new profound level that that is not generosity, that's obligation. And that's very, very different. Generosity is a disposition of the heart based on the economic system of abundance. And let me tell you, the Sermon on the Mount will read very differently for you when you see that. Why do you turn the other cheek? Because you will be healed and you're exposing the folly of violence. That's abundance. Why do you give your cloak? Because there's another one to get. That's abundance. Why do you go the extra mile? Because you'll get rest and you'll recover. And you still believe in a God you're going to be taken care of. That's abundance. The Sermon on the Mount starts making much, much mourning because there is comfort. Hunger because there's a way to be filled. And what I love about that is Jesus doesn't deny the economic system that we live in this world, that it is scarce, that there is pain, that there is lack, that there is, and then, but he's calling us to a disposition of generosity predicated on the abundance of God's kingdom. So I'm probably getting a little bit more impassioned about that, but that's for me. So if it benefits you, great. So the other thing that abundance produces is it strengthens us by reconnecting us to life-giving resources of faith and love. So that's what the joy of being part of New Life is that we've heard it so many different times that, hey, for whatever reason, it could have been an economic reason, it could have been a resource, it could have been a fear reason. I didn't get into the rooms of therapy, but I got on the radio. Now, I don't have the, you know, people or the resources around me to get into deeper work of healings, but I did get the book. Now, I did attend the conference or I whatever it may be. And that's why we're so passionate about the partnerships that we have, because it participates in this phenomenal economic system of abundance. And it also just reminds me of Proverbs 3. This one part that says, when he's instructing his mentee and his son, "My son, do not ever let love and faithfulness leave you. Bind them around your neck. They are sources of strength. And faith and love are not scarce resources. They live in the economic system of abundance." So I'm going to do a few quick things here. There's so much more I could do on this. So maybe this is Becky and Larry will challenge me later to do much more writing on this for sure. So, but here's what I want to say, a couple of things to really bring a little bit more clarity to this. What I want to tell you is what abundance is not. Abundance is not some sort of mere wishful thinking. It's not the latest pop psychology package wrapped in the empty promises of health and wealth. That is not what it is. Abundance is a deep and audacious faith that requires a rootedness in the presence and goodness of God. God is the source of abundance, not my wishful thinking. I'm not manifesting this anytime soon. Trust me, I've tried. Okay? But abundance is the daily practice of gratitude, grace, and generosity. That deepens in us. Abundance is also a humble admission and connection of our needs and our limitations and our frailties, even our sins, to the care of God, others, and the world around us. That's why I love life recovery groups so much. We all need and deserve, this is, I will say this is an entitlement, and this unfortunately is scarce, and it needs not be. Every human being needs and deserves a place to be, to say, and to see the most honest version of themselves and experience profound grace. Talk to anyone who's been to Every Man's Battle, and they will tell you how unbelievably impacting that is. But we need that humble admission that we do have needs, we do have limitations, we do have frailties, we do have sin, and it needs to be connected to the economic system of abundance in forgiveness, grace, and restoration, and, as we say, sanctification, getting better over time. Two more things. Abundance is a continual reminder about that which is eternal versus that which is temporal. Infinite versus finite. Scarcity works in finiteness. And so God calls us to say, set your mind on things above. Set your mind on the abundance of eternity, because moth and rust are going to get the rest of this thing. And so it helps us clarify our priorities and what's most important and what doesn't matter. So I'll finish it here. More than anything else this holiday season, I wish you the abundance of God's economic system of love.